morning I'll be continuing a series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer. I'll read it as it's found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Please listen as I read God's Word. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I was sitting in my office this week, actually my satellite office in Aspen Coffee Shop, and I've gotten to know some of the gentlemen there and enjoy catching up with them this week. And two men were greeting each other as at the table that was next to me and saying hello to each other. Isn't it a nice day? And earlier this week, you'll remember that it was warm, and it's been very, very dry here in Oklahoma. That all changed Friday night, thankfully. But on Monday, they were saying, sure is a beautiful day. And the other said, yeah, but no rain, no rain. One of them said, well, we need to talk to this guy over here. And they were pointing at me. It's amazing the power that pastors sometimes seem to possess. And well, I said, that's not up to me. That belongs to God. But we can appeal to him. And I meant that. And providentially, I was sitting there studying, give us this day our daily bread. Very providentially, because aren't the daily needs that we have those that are in God's hands, but that he also invites us to come and to ask. Some people have looked at the Lord's Prayer and they get to give us this day our daily bread, and they think that it doesn't fit. Look through the Lord's Prayer and you'll see these lofty prayers. God, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And those are prayers that we've seen are prayers to a mighty king, to a sovereign and ruling Lord. And for people that take this position, they say, how could we go from such lofty requests to then ask that mighty king for a crust of bread? And what happens is that they spiritualize this prayer request and say this must be asking God for a daily provision of grace. Now, we do need a daily provision of grace, but that's not what Jesus is teaching us to pray for here. He is teaching us to pray for what it says, to pray for our daily bread. This is a kingdom prayer. This morning I want you to see how your daily bread is part of the kingdom prayers that Jesus teaches us. He is teaching us and he is training us to see that every aspect of our life is a reflection of our being part of his kingdom. And so we have an important prayer to bring before the Lord, a prayer for our daily bread. As I've done in the past in looking at the Lord's Prayer, I'll be using the answer to the Shorter Catechism as our main idea this morning to guide us in understanding this prayer request. The Catechism says that in this prayer God teaches us, that we pray that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessing with them. I'm going to summarize that in two ways, break that into two segments. This prayer expresses our utter dependence on God And secondly, it teaches us contentment and thankfulness. So let's begin with utter dependence. Taken at face value, this prayer immediately brings before us the day-by-day dependence that we have on God. What could be more basic than having food to eat today? Did you have some breakfast? Did you have something to eat? Did we anticipate a lunch together? You could probably make it today if you didn't have any food. You could probably make it another day and another day and maybe even a couple weeks. But what happens if you don't have any food? That's right. We die without food. We need food to live. This prayer reveals our utter dependence on God to provide it. Look at the progression again of the Lord's Prayer. And while you see that they are lofty prayers, I want you to see that God lifts up in that progression of prayers and makes even our daily bread part of the kingdom prayers that he has given to us. We pray that his name would be regarded as holy. We show reverence for him that way. We pray that our ultimate allegiance would be to God in heaven. So we pray, your kingdom come. We pray that we would be saved and others would be brought into that kingdom. We pray that we would know and do God's will that he's revealed to us, that we'd submit to his secret will. And this we pray, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And now, what comes next? Well, isn't it very natural that we would express an utter dependence on the Lord for even the very day-by-day necessities that we have in life? When I reflect on this request, I can't help but be sharpened by this and reflect on my own tendency of thinking of myself as self-sufficient. In other words, I can accomplish this in my own strength. I can do this. But isn't that a polar opposite to expressing utter dependence on God? See what I mean? On the one hand, Christ is teaching us that daily, even the very food that we eat is an expression of our dependence on the Lord. On the other hand, where I find myself often is saying, I can do this in myself. And I may not think of it just bluntly like that to say, I don't need God's help, but it's a practical atheism, a practical self-sufficiency rather than a on-the-face type of self-sufficiency. Let me illustrate this from another one of my camping experiences. I've enjoyed telling you about some of my Minnesota camping experiences. And we were setting out on a trail hike, and we'd given the participants all of the tools that they needed, including a map, a mark on the map where our goal was, the trails that we'd follow, a compass to use. They were given all of the tools. But when we got to the starting point, the trail was a little bit hard to determine. It didn't have this great big marker and neon sign saying, Bruce Parnell, go down this road. But we did have the tools that was necessary to find that trail. When we got there, the campers were very eager to get going. They shouldered their packs. They found what looked like a trail, and they set off down it. And the director said, something's not quite right. And he and I stopped, and we got out our map and our compass, and we did some figuring. And the campers had set off down a separate trail that led in an opposite direction from the goal that we were seeking. Now, can you imagine, as they were going along thinking, here we go, we're pressing on towards our goal, we can do this, we got our pass, we got our goal, And an hour down the road, they're trying to figure out where they are. Well, fortunately, the director was a wise camper and used the helps that were given. But in the time that it took for us to stop and get our bearings and check out the trails and find the real trailhead, the rest of the campers were 5 minutes on down this path. So I had to drop my pack and in hiking boots run down the trail to try to catch up with them and get them going on the right path. But isn't that the way we often approach life? We have a decision to make. We have a certain goal to accomplish, questions that we want answered for. And we are confident. We know the goal that is set before us. And so we shoulder the pack, we set off down the trail without using the helps that God has given to us. And an hour down the road, or days down the road, we are frustrated in our self-sufficiency. And we've come to the end of our rope trying to figure out where we turned wrong, where we got off on the wrong trail, and why we can't find the goal that is so clearly set in front of us. And it doesn't take long for me to go down that path in self-sufficiency without bothering to appeal for help. And if you're like me, you get to a point and you say, well, I guess I'd better pray. To my shame. Doesn't that sound like a last-ditch effort? I've tried everything else. I've tried to figure this out in my own strength. I guess I ought to pray about it. Thank God he's merciful. Even though I often end up in this situation, lost in the middle of the woods, having exhausted myself, and crying out to God in a last-ditch effort, God doesn't turn me away in my time of need. Even in this last week, God sent unexpected answer to prayer that came after I had very eagerly taken several steps down that path of self-sufficiency. And yet God has sent answer in merciful ways. Before you get lost in the woods, before you get down that path, look at what Jesus is teaching us. We depend utterly on him. We depend utterly, daily, on his provision, on his direction, on his care. This is one of the places where the Psalms just are full of our dependence upon the Lord. Think through some of the Psalms that are dear to our hearts. We sing, "The eyes of all upon thee wait, their food and season thou dost give." We sing of our daily bread. We sing about rising up early in the morning to take comfort in the Lord. We sing about going to bed at night, remembering God's faithfulness through the day. Our Psalm of the Month talks about appealing to God in the midst of tragedy and in the midst of trial and temptation. God never leaves us or forsakes us. That's his promise. And he teaches us to depend upon him daily. I would add here that God's goodness spurs us on. This week in the accountability time on Thursday morning, Dan Yost was sharing from his own devotions in Matthew, where Jesus says, what father would give his child who's asking for a piece of bread would instead give them a rock to eat? I want to ask the children this morning, did you have rocks for breakfast? Did you eat some gravel? Oh no, your parents gave you something good to eat. Jesus goes on and says, your child asked for fish to eat. What father would give you a snake? Did you have some snake to eat this morning? I bet there isn't any snake over in the crock pots either for fellowship lunch. God's goodness draws us, doesn't it? God's goodness goes like this to us. Over and over again, God has satisfied our desires. This week, Vicki and I were reading from a book by G.K. Chesterton, and he described our dependence as a childlike dependence that says, do it again. Do you know what that's like? The parents know what it's like. When you do something fun with your children, maybe spinning them around and around, and they like it so much that you put them down and they go, do it again. Do it again. And so you pick them up and you do it again. And pretty soon the parents are worn out, but the kids are going, do it again. God doesn't wear out. His supply is abundant. And it's that type of dependence that I want you to have, that day by day we joyfully, in the presence of God, say, do it again. Do it again, Lord. That leads us to being thankful and content. By praying for our daily bread, Jesus also teaches us contentment in life for the supply of our daily need. And he also implicitly addresses the sin of discontent. And it's a sin that very easily entangles us. Isn't it easy to want more and more things? The children might know VeggieTales and the tale of Madame Blueberry. Do you know that one? Madame Blueberry was so blue. Do you know why she was blue? It wasn't because she was a blueberry. She was sad, and so was blue. And she was sad, so sad she didn't know what to do. And the answer came, what you need to be happy is more stuff. And all you need to do is go down to Stuff Mart, and they have everything that you need. They've got bungees and scuba gear and air compressors and everything that you need, everything that you want. And Madame Blueberry goes to Stuff Mart and she fills her house to the point that the house that's in a tree bends over and breaks into a million pieces. And she wasn't happy getting more and more stuff. Well, the sin is not in the stuff. The sin is not even in having the stuff. The sin is not even in wanting the stuff in a certain regards. God gives us a desire for our daily bread. God gives us desires for things. The sin is in the wanting that has been cut off from the kingdom. A wanting that has been cut off from the kingdom. And it's a wanting of stuff that springs from a lack of contentment with my present stuff. Let me illustrate this again from my own life. I've noticed this about myself. When I think about how God has provided for me, I have to say that I'm rich. Not only are my needs covered, but I also have many things that make up a comfortable life. But then I start looking around at the stuff that everybody else has, and I begin to think of what I don't have. And I begin to think of how what I do have is not as nice as what Bob has. And then I begin to think of how I really do need a brand new super duper stuff. And I suddenly find that my attitude towards the things that God has given to me has turned sour. And I look at those things that I have, and I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. I'm not content. And in all honesty, my attitude goes beyond the stuff. And I'm discontent with God Himself. Instead, God teaches us to be thankful and content on a daily basis for the good things of this life that He has given to us. And at the same time, He teaches us to be content in His good providence in the things that He has not given to us. The biblical example that I would give to you comes from Paul. Health is a little different from the stuff of this world, but it is part of the day-to-day needs of this life. Paul prayed for health. He had a thorn in his flesh, and we're not exactly sure what that thorn was, but he asked that God would remove it. That was a good and godly desire. It's good for us to want to be healthy, to want to be strong and free from disease or sickness. It's right for us to pray for this. But God said no. Three times He said no. But even more than that, God said, "My grace is sufficient for your need." And isn't that a fascinating answer? Doesn't that express our utter dependence on God? He says, "My grace is sufficient for your need." That's the type of attitude that God teaches us when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." He teaches us this utter daily dependence on Him that leads us to bring really the entirety of our lives before Him. I've been fond of saying that God flings open the door to His kingdom. And this prayer does exactly that. He flings open the door to the kingdom and invites us to pray for those daily needs, waiting expectantly on Him to provide and content that His grace is sufficient in whatever answer that He gives to us. That is very different from what I will, for lack of a better term, call self-centered prayers. As I think about my own prayers, I was really struck by the way G.I. Williamson, when he talks about this in the Shorter Catechism, says that prayers often tend to be man-centered. They tend to make man the important thing rather than God. Prayer, therefore, tends to become a means whereby I get done what I want. Thus we may hear people boast of the fact that they have prayed for a great sum of money and got it, or a newer model of car, etc. There's a feeling that whatever they want, they get because of the, quote, power of prayer. Instead, Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread, having His kingdom work at His glory in mind and not our own. At this point, you might be asking yourself, is it right then to pray for earthly blessings? Is it right to pray for earthly blessings? Another man who has written on the commentary, this is on the larger catechism, J.G. Voss asks that very question. Is it right to pray for earthly blessings? His answer is certainly it is right, and we ought to do it. but always in subordination to the will of God, as to his fatherly wisdom, as his fatherly wisdom seems best. We may pray for financial prosperity and similar earthly blessings, provided that we pray that it's God's will that be done. And we have no way of knowing in advance whether or not such will be his will. What I hope that I'm doing is turning the focus of your attention in your prayers once more to focus on our Heavenly Father rather than on our own self and our own kingdom. Just as we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, so our prayers for our daily bread reflect that ultimate allegiance that belongs to him. In this light, I would mention a popular book recently called The Prayer of Jabez. And there are some good things about this book, but I'd also encourage you to read with discernment. The good thing about this book is that it does have in mind a passion for God's glory and a desire to see him lifted up. But there is a danger in this prayer that seems to reduce God to a keeper of some heavenly treasure, that if you just say the right words and repeat them over and over, and that's the call of the book, is to repeat the prayer of Jabez for the next month, that you will somehow magically unlock this storehouse. It's a prayer that really is not a prayer of faith or a prayer of God-centered desire, but a prayer of man-centered desires. I would urge you to read and understand that book with discernment. Prayer is not some formula of blessing. It's not some abracadabra that if you just say the words right, that poof, here comes the blessings that you prayed for. Instead, prayer is an expression of our relationship. It's an expression of our utter dependence upon the Lord. And in the context of that relationship, isn't it right that the Father in heaven would invite us to pour out our needs, our desires before him? And isn't it right that as we love the Father, that we would want what he wants, that we would want him to answer in a way that he is glorified, that his grace would be shown? In our prayers, we express this very thing. One further application in thinking of being thankful and content and in addressing this mechanical use of prayer, let me also point out that when Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread, he has in mind also that we would make use of the means that are around us. As we pray for our daily bread, we also pray that not only would God supply our food, but that he would supply the means by which we get that food. And so, we don't lie in bed waiting for God to drop food into our mouths that it would magically appear by our bedside. Instead, we pray, expressing our utter dependence on God for our daily bread, and then we get up and we go to work and do what God has called us to do. We pray that God would provide for us jobs, provide for us health. At the same time we make use of those means, we plant, we water, we weed. In regards to our health, we use medicine, all the time praying, expressing our dependence upon the Lord. Well, we're at the trailhead. You have a week set before you. you've got to set some goals in front of you this week. Each one of you may have goals for schoolwork. You may have goals for work, certain accomplishments that you need to get done, proposals or papers to write. And you may have the pack on your back. And you may even this morning be rushing down the trail in full confidence that you can accomplish that goal. Let's kneel at the trailhead. Let's kneel at the trailhead today at the beginning of the week and say, God, guide us. Comfort us. Provide for us. Let's kneel at the beginning of each day and ask for that provision for us on every day, that we might express our utter dependence upon Him for everything in life, and at the same time confessing our thankfulness for what He has provided and contentment in His providence for us. Let's bow together in prayer. O Lord, we do bow before You together as the people of God today. And we confess our needs. God, thank You that as a gracious Heavenly Father, You have invited us to come near to You. You've invited us to pour out our hearts to You, to let You know what our needs are, the concerns that we are facing. We do so today with full freedom, knowing that You have invited us to do so. We ask for Your guidance for those mundane aspects of our life. God, we confess that they're no longer mundane, but God, You have raised them up to be kingdom prayers. Kingdom prayers because we are kingdom people. We belong to You. So God, I pray that as we bow before You at the beginning of this week, that dependence upon You would be a sweet dependence, that You would be guiding us day by day. Father, I would also confess to You the sin of discontent this morning. Ask for Your forgiveness and ask that You would be giving our hearts and my heart a clarity of vision to see what You have given. That the food wouldn't be in my mouth and be turning to dust. That I wouldn't turn and say, so God, what's the next wonder? But instead, God, I pray that You would give a childlike faith, a childlike delight in Your presence and in Your supply that can say, do it again, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mentioned Psalm 145C earlier, that this expresses our dependence on God for our daily bread. It takes into account lots of other things, too. The grace of God, the supply spiritually that we need so much. We'll sing this together, expressing our dependence on Him. Let's stand to sing 145C.